Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Supreme Court's non-action on marriage was actually an action to allow same-sex marriage to spread across the United States. We're going to talk about it today on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber to talk about what the Supreme Court recently did or didn't do. The Supreme Court had five cases pending before it, and it ultimately decided not to take any of those cases. All of the cases involved federal courts of appeal that struck down the respective marriage laws in those states that were affected. And as a result of that, it means that the decision to strike down these laws remains in effect, and same-sex marriage in a number of those states have already begun.
And in states like Oklahoma, where overwhelmingly the will of the people was to, you know, they call these gay marriage bans. All we're talking about here are constitutional amendments that reaffirm the age-old definition of marriage. In Oklahoma, the voters overwhelmingly, I forget the exact number, upwards of almost 80% said, no, marriage is what marriage has always been in the state of Oklahoma. Well, we know that the reality is marriage will always be what it is. But here the Supreme Court comes along. You have this bevy of rogue appeals court judges arbitrarily making these rulings with no precedent, citing no real legitimate argument and ignoring completely Baker v. Nelson, where the Supreme Court has effectively weighed in on same-sex marriage, and just doing what they want to do, judicial activism at its worst. And the Supreme Court really abdicated its duty here to stop the bleeding, stop the chaos, and they have created a constitutional crisis.
They have. In fact, they started this a year ago with the Windsor decision in June of 2013. And in that decision, they struck down, in a 5-4 decision, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, affirmation of marriage as the union of a man and a woman. They used the words equal protection, but they never used the equal protection analysis that historically has been used in Supreme Court cases. So they invented this issue out of thin air. They knew that they were throwing a match to a gasoline can, and as marriage began to burn across the country, the cases then started to be litigated using Windsor, striking down the marriage laws, and then going back to the United States Supreme Court, and they decided, we're not going to get involved. By doing that, they actually started the destruction of marriage, and they're sitting at the sidelines watching marriage burn. Now, it only takes four justices to take a case, and obviously you need a majority of five to have a ruling one way or another. Obviously, there was at least one or more of those four justices, and of those four, certainly we know three in terms of their judicial philosophy that we can count on, Alito, Scalia, and Thomas.
Yeah.
We don't know which way Roberts would go, but we assume Roberts would not find a right for same-sex marriage in the Constitution based upon what he said in the Windsor case last year. However, one or more of at least those three decided not to cast a vote to take the case. Now, why would they not cast a vote to take the case?
Knowing full well what the ramifications would be with these 11 states.
Yeah, and the only reason why they would not is they are counting votes, and they count five votes to strike down marriage. So they're counting Kennedy in that five majority decision.
Yeah.
So rather than have a case taken by the Supreme Court in which the Supreme Court then strikes it down, they will ultimately hold it for a while, have it hit these states while there's still some other time left. That's the only reason. However, there's another case pending at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals that governs Kentucky, Michigan, and Ohio. And if that decision upholds the case, upholds the marriage laws, here's what you will have. You will have at least four of the liberal justices vote to accept the case. And then you're going to have the 5-4 majority that strikes that down across the country.
And that's because if the Sixth Circuit or the Fifth Circuit, there are numbers.
Or the 11th Circuit.
Or the 11th Circuit.
Cases that are perculating right now. They're not at the 11th
92
Circuit.
92 cases.
Yeah, the 11th Circuit is southeastern part of the country, Florida, Alabama, Georgia. And the Fifth Circuit is Texas and Louisiana, those part of the country. And then you've got the Sixth Circuit up there that we talked about. And then there's others that are coming up as well. One of these federal courts of appeal could uphold marriage law. And if they do, the Supreme Court will take that case.
That's because that will create a conflict with the other circuits that have shot down the marriage amendments in these states. So then the Supreme Court will have to resolve that conflict.
Yeah, correct? And I guarantee that if they had one or if they had all of these cases that they just had before the court upholding the marriage laws, I can guarantee you, four of the liberal justices would have voted to take the case, and 5-4 decision would have come down at least striking down the marriage laws.
Well, this kind of goes in keeping with what Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg recently said. I think it was in Minnesota, where she said if there's not a conflict, we can kind of keep this thing going along for a while. Sounds like she was kind of tipping her hand.
Yeah, she was tipping her hand. We don't need to get involved. But if the Sixth Circuit, she says, upholds it, then there's going to be a compelling urgency for us to get involved. And she and Kagan have been performing same-sex ceremonies. So they're publicly putting themselves out there on a particular side of an issue when these cases are pending before them, clearly violating the judicial canons. The problem is there's no court over the Supreme Court to hold them accountable. So their recusal, which should involve Kagan and Ginsburg in any case involving same-sex marriage, is voluntary on their part. And if they don't do it, then there's no recourse.
And unfortunately, the way the ethics are set up there with the Supreme Court with the judicial conduct is that they're presumed to have at least the level of character or the integrity to recuse themselves when there's an obvious conflict of interest. Here's an obvious conflict of interest. They don't recuse themselves. What does that say about their integrity and their character?
Well, what could happen is the state bar associations, where they are licensed, could come against them regarding a judicial violation, but that's probably obviously a very remote possibility. The states that were immediately affected by not taking the case include Indiana, Wisconsin, Utah, Oklahoma, and Virginia. Same-sex marriages have already occurred in some of these states, including Virginia. However, these decisions involve jurisdictions that other states are in. So the appeals courts govern multiple states. So in addition to those states that are immediately affected, you have North Carolina, South Carolina, West Virginia, Maryland already has same-sex marriage, Illinois already has same-sex marriage, Colorado, Kansas, Wyoming, and New Mexico already has same-sex marriage. So that's where you get the 11 states. Now, that's not an immediate impact on those that don't have same-sex marriage, but it really telecasts a message to those states in terms of what ultimately may happen. And some of those states may end up caving without litigating.
Now, Matt, let me ask you this. Let's say that they say, Texas, we're shooting down your state amendment. Some appeals court says this. Or let's say the governor of Oklahoma were to say, you know what, thanks. We appreciate your opinion, Court of Appeals. But here in Oklahoma, you know, marriage is what it is, and we're going to reject that. Is that a possibility?
Well, you know, that's what Governor Mike Huckabee has said recently. He got blasted by the media, but he's correct. I wrote a chapter in my book, Faith and Freedom, Later Eternal Vigilance, called Judicial Tyranny, in which I looked at Thomas Jefferson, Andrew Jackson, and also Abraham Lincoln, in which they, as the executive of the United States, chose to not obey either legislative or judicial acts or rulings, because they had an independent duty, they believed, to interpret the Constitution. Jefferson, for example, in the Libel and Sedition Act of 1789, felt it was unconstitutional. He would not enforce it. He wrote a letter to Abigail Adams saying, how do you believe that the judges have the sole right to interpret the Constitution? So there is historical precedent for doing just that. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. This is a critical time in American history where marriage is under fire. That's lc.org. The website, again, is lc.org, and we have resources there available for you. We have the book Judicial Tyranny, and in that book, we talk about this history of the coordinate branches of government with regards to Jefferson's view. Some people may think, I've never heard of that. Yet Jefferson believed he had an independent duty to interpret the Constitution. You know, we've seen it with President Obama, and we've been protesting against President Obama because he hasn't been enforcing certain laws. The problem is he's on the wrong side of the law. But there is historical precedent for the executive, whether the governor or the federal executive, with respect to independently interpreting the Constitution. And they are the, after all, enforcement agency. It's not the judges. It's not the courts. We are at a critical time in history. This is a defining moment in our culture. Liberty Counsel is on the cutting edge. We encourage you to be a part of this ministry. Call 800-671-1776 and remember to pray and support Liberty Counsel. You can go to lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.